Well, we're starting today a new series in John's Gospel. We're going to go in John's Gospel up to the Easter period. And at the end of John's Gospel, these two verses are written. John chapter 20, verses 30 to 31. And this is what it says. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And what John is saying here is that in his book about Jesus, he could have included so many different miracles, so many different stories of all the lives that Jesus transformed, all the amazing things that he did. But he's included these ones specifically because he says there is enough here to convince you that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's the Christ, the Messiah, and that actually if we believe in his name, we really can have life. And so we're going to be starting on that journey this morning. Let's bow our heads and pray. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Father, we want to thank you so much that you have revealed yourself to us through Jesus. And Father, thank you for this book of John that helps us to know Jesus better, helps us to convince that he really is the Son of God and that life can only be found in his name. Father, we ask this morning that as we consider your word and as we sing your praises by your Spirit, you might help us to know Jesus better and follow him more clearly and dearly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just pray as we stand together. Father, we want to thank you so much that your promises to us in Jesus Christ are good, are sure, and steadfast. And Father, we pray that we will build our lives upon them. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's take a seat.
Well, we're going to be starting a brand new series in the book of John together this morning, which is really exciting. So if you've got one of the red chapel Bibles or you've got your phones, let's turn to John together. It should be on the screen as well. We're going to start right at the beginning of John, which is on page 1063.
And the thing that's confusing about it is that it's next to the page, which is 1062. So if you're little and you're trying to find 1063, it's just next to that page.
That's very true.
The number's not on there.
Very true. Look for the big John.
Look at that. There we go. We'll wait for you to find it. See if you can find it because you want to keep it in front of you. Well done.
1063. And we're going to read the first four verses together now. And it should be coming up on the screen as well. So the first four verses of John chapter 1. And it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind."
So where does all of life come from? Where does it all start? Did you see there in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, where does it all begin? Have a look. What's there right at the start? Have a look down. Let me read it again. Have a look. What is there at the start? In fact, Annie's going to read it. And can you see what is there at the start of absolutely everything?
In the beginning was the Word.
So what's there at the start of everything? Anyone feel brave? Want to shout it out? The Word. Well done. The Word. Absolutely. Where does life come from? All life comes from the Word.
Exactly. So it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. This verse tells us really clearly that in the beginning was the Word. So if you go back far enough, all the way to the start, all you will find is God and this person that the Bible calls the Word.
Right. And I know if you're really little, there comes a point in your life when you realize that your parents didn't, or your grown-ups didn't just exist when you existed. They had a life before you were here. You see, lots of things. Do you remember that point when you were little? There's a point where you think, my parents didn't have a life. And then all of a sudden you realize, wow, that they used to be little as well.
Wow.
They came from somewhere as well. You see, everything has a beginning. Sometimes there are some things that now exist that didn't used to exist. So let's have a look at this. Let's have a look at this first thing on the screen. First thing on the screen. When was it made? Right, here's the question. When was the internet made?
So when do you think the internet was made available for anyone and everyone to use? So when did the internet become freely accessible for the general public? When did www. become free and easy to access? Okay, we've got three options on the screen. Hands up if you think the internet became available to all of the public in 1845. Hands up if you think it's 1845. Oh, no one's going for 1845. Okay, hands up for 1993. Quite a few hands up. James has got two hands up. Good one, James. What about 2001? A few hands up for 2001. Okay, well, the answer is...
Here we go.
1993. Well done if you got it right.
Who remembers the world before the internet? Can you put your hand up if you remember the world before the internet? Look at this. In fact, do you know what? It's less than half the room. Those of you who are of a certain age, that should scare you a little bit. In fact, Annie, you didn't put your hand up.
No, Andy, that's because I'm not as old as you are. And I've actually never been alive when the internet wasn't available to me. I'm only 28, so I've always had the internet. And you're a bit old for that, Andy.
Can you believe it? Annie, do you know what life was like before the internet?
Not a clue, not a clue.
Should I tell you what it was like?
Yes.
The Yellow Pages.
Very good.
It was the Yellow Pages.
Okay, next one. Let's see the next one. Who knows when the light bulb was invented? Okay. Hands up if you think it was 1816. 1816. A few, James, maybe. What about 1849? A few more hands up. Okay, 1879. What do we reckon? What is the answer?
Here we go.
1879. Well done. So it was invented in 1879 by Thomas Edison. But can you imagine there was once a world without any light bulbs? That means there was once a world where you couldn't just go to the light switches on the wall and automatically turn the lights on. So people used to either have to use candles to see, or when the sun went down, they would just go to bed.
Look at that.
Can you imagine that?
Well, do you know what? There's a couple in this church who said we can imagine it because they lost their electricity on Friday and it's still not come back on. Because a power line is down.
They're not living the dream.
But isn't that amazing? There was a world before there were light bulbs. And how about this? Okay, this next one. Okay, the wheel. Now, that's not what the wheel looked like. But when do you think the wheel first came into being? This is what the archaeologists reckon. Okay, 3,500 BC, 4,500, 6,000 BC. So who thinks the wheel first came to being around 3,500 BC? Okay, we've got a few. 4,500 years before Jesus. Okay, and what about 6,000 years before Jesus? Well, it really is split in the room. In fact, the archaeologists reckon it's around 3,500 years BC. So can you imagine before 3,500 years BC, there was no carts. There was no wheels to sort of wheel things along. They would have just been dragging things along the ground.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Well, does anyone know when plants and animals and human beings were created? Well, I'm not going to go into the date for that. But there was a point a long time ago when there was no daffodils, there was no koalas, there was no Annies or Andys or Adams or Eves in the world. There was a time before the sun shone or the moon was visible, and there was a time even before the earth existed.
That's right. And actually, if you imagine that, before the internet and before light bulbs and before wheels and before Adam and Eve and all of animals, and before the sun and the moon and the stars were there, when there was absolutely nothing, not even, this is not to time scale, okay? But before there was an atom or a quark, before there was anything, do you know what was there? Do you know who was there? Well, verses 1 and 2 tell us that there was a family. There was a family there. There was God and the Word.
Yeah, so these verses keep talking about this person, this someone called the Word. But who is the Word? Well, verse 14, if you look down in your Bibles, verse 14 tells us this. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And that means that the Word is Jesus. So right at the beginning and all throughout time was God the Father and God the Son with God the Holy Spirit too. Right at the beginning was a family, and that family was brimming with life and with love. God and the Word, that's Jesus, have always been together. Verses 1 and 2 tell us that. They had always been, and they always will be. The Word, that's Jesus, was with God, and the Word, that's Jesus, was God. They are the only permanent fixtures you will find in the whole universe, because there was never a time without them.
And look at what the Word did. Have a look at verse 3. What did Jesus, the Word, do? Have a look down. Let me read it out, and you can tell your grown-up next to you. Through him, all things were what? All things were? Yes. Without him, nothing was?
Made.
That has been?
Made.
That's right. So what did Jesus do? He?
Made
everything. He made everything. Now, I wonder whether you know what this is. Does anyone know what this is? Does anyone know what that is? Anyone want to tell us? Anyone know? Go on, Annie. It's a giant clam. Apparently, it has hundreds of eyes around its lips. That's weird, isn't it? It's about 30 stone in terms of weight. It's an amazing thing.
That is amazing.
Do you know what? Jesus made the clam.
Now, does anyone know what that is? It's a kind of fish. Does anyone know what kind of fish it is? What do we reckon? Emily, do you know? Yeah. It's a puffer fish or a porcupine fish.
Look at that.
That's a porcupine fish. It's a bit strange looking. But actually, do you know something amazing about this fish? When it senses danger around the corner, when it feels threatened, it gulps down loads and loads of water. It has the spikes, I know. And it gulps down loads of water, and it makes its stomach swell to about 100 times its normal size. And then it looks like a giant, scary beach ball. But do you want to know something else that is quite funny about a porcupine fish? Dolphins, they apparently like to tease this fish, and they like to make it inflate on purpose. And then they play beach ball with the fish. And Jesus made that.
Amazing. And finally, here's my favourite one. Does anyone know what this is? Let's have a look. Does anyone know what that is? Okay, wait. Let's have a look. This isn't from science fiction. It is 1.5 millimetres in length. Has anyone got any ideas
James
what this is?
James is saying something.
It's a sea bear. It's called a water bear or a sea bear. Thank you very much, James. Apparently, you can boil this animal. You can shoot it with x-rays, you can squash it under massive pressure, and it still survives. It's the only animal they've ever taken into space on a rocket ship and put outside the spacecraft and brought it back in, and it still stayed alive.
Wow.
Can you imagine what other animals they've had a go of that with? Anyway, doesn't bear thinking about it. But there we go. That is the water bear. And the thing is, the water bear and the giant clam and the other thing, the porcupine fish and the dolphin. Jesus made it all. You see, when you meet Jesus, you're not just meeting a man. You're not just meeting a nice bloke. He's not just an interesting figure in history. He is your creator. He made you. Have a look around this room. Do you know what? There is not one person in this room that Jesus did not make. In fact, there is not, isn't that amazing? There's not one chair or thing. There's not a camera. We can't see you at home. There is not one thing in all the universe that Jesus did not make. There's a reason why at mealtimes we always say a prayer. Because actually Jesus gave us the food. He gave us everything. He is the one who made everything. And have a look at verse 4. Look at what we're told about Jesus. Start of verse 4. In him was what?
Life.
How much life is in Jesus? How much life is in Jesus? I'll tell you how much life. All the life of the universe is in Jesus. All the life there has ever been is in Jesus. How big is your Jesus? That's how big the Bible says he is. He's massive.
Everything. So that song told us just some of the things that have life because of Jesus. So we know that life comes from the Word, and we know that the Word is Jesus. He gives every single thing life. Imagine how powerful Jesus must be to be the source of all life in the whole of creation. But I did notice something else at the end of the Bible reading that we read earlier. Maybe we can read it again and we'll read a bit further and we're going to notice a specific word.
That's right. Have a look at verses 4 to 9 and see what word is repeated. Okay, see what word is repeated. Verses 4 to 9, I'm going to read it out to you. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world.
Wow. Okay, so there was a word that was repeated quite a few times in those verses. Did anyone spot what that word was? What was it? Light. Exactly. Exactly. That's right. It was light. We just heard the word light, as you can see on there, 7 times in just 5 verses. So that word must be pretty important. This seems to be saying that the life that Jesus gives is more than just us being created and us being made and being able to breathe. The light of all mankind. What is that life about?
Well, yes, it's not just that Jesus made us all, that he made us be alive physically, but he also offers us something more. You see, humanity has a problem. Do you see what that problem, how that problem was described in the passage? It's described as darkness.
Exactly. But Andy, I don't know about you, but I don't really have a problem with darkness. You see, I've plenty of lights to help me in the day to day. I've got ceiling lights like we have here, and they help me see. I've got a torch on my phone for if it's nighttime. And if everything else fails, like the power cuts on Friday, then I can light a candle to get rid of the darkness. They all help me to see everything I need, Andy. So why do I need Jesus's light?
Well, the problem isn't that kind of darkness. It's symbolic. You see, it's picture language in the Bible for something that's really, really bad. Now, if you're little, or even if you're not, why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, what could that be? And their hint is, what is the really bad thing that's in the world? And it's 3 letters. What do you think? Ask the person next to you. There we go. Okay, I think... Okay, here we go. I think we've got lots of people. There's lots of buzz. And we get the sense. Oh, where are we going to go? Over here, go on. Sin. That's it. Sin. You see, the Bible says that we live in darkness. And that means our whole lives have sin in them. Basically, we want to live our lives disconnected from God, disconnected from the life that he's come to bring us in close relationship with him, our creator. And because we live in this way, we live in the darkness, we need light to come and help us go back to a living relationship with our maker, God.
So Jesus comes into our world, which is full of darkness, and he is the light that shows us how we get out of our biggest problem of sin. That is amazing.
And he offers it to everyone. So have a look at verse 9. Have a look at verse 9. Okay, the true light that gives light to who? Can you see? The true light that gives light to? Everyone. Thank you. Was coming into the world. It's amazing. But actually, often we end up not wanting the light and life that Jesus offers.
That seems absolutely crazy. Why would people not want the light and the help that Jesus offers us? Surely that can't be true, Andy.
Well, have a look at verse 10 and 11, because they tell us that we push away the life and the light that Jesus offers. Have a look at verse 10. He, that's Jesus, was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Verse 11, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. See, even though Jesus was showing us our biggest problem and came to defeat darkness, the world still wanted to say to him, no thanks, you're all right. We don't want you, Jesus. We naturally want to put out the light that Jesus offers us. We turn his offer of light and life in God down.
Now, can I have a couple of volunteers, two volunteers who wouldn't mind coming up on the stage and helping with something? Cameron, do you want to come up? James, do you want to come up? So I've got some lights here on the stage, okay? I've got a torch here, I've got a phone torch, ooh. I've got some glow sticks, and I've got a candle, okay? Your challenge, maybe you can try too, James, and Cameron can try too. I want you to try and put out these lights. Can you put these lights out?
Okay.
There you go, well done, you've put out that one.
So there we go, at home.
Well, there you go. Cameron, do you want to have a go at the other ones?
What are you going to do
with... What could you do with the glow sticks?
Do you want to turn around
so
people can
see
you?
Hide them somewhere.
What do you reckon? Do you want to hide them?
Just wait for them to lose their light.
Well, that's very true. They'll eventually go off.
Hey, Cameron, do you want to give them here? Should we go and hide them here? Hey, there you go. Well done. Right, okay, they're gone. Good job. They've gone.
Oh, you turned it off. Good job. You turned all those off really quickly. Well done, boys. You can go sit down. You did
well
that very
done.
Easily. But they put out those lights really easily. They were quite easy to extinguish. And Andy, you're saying that's what we naturally want to do with the offer of life that Jesus gives us.
Yes, that's right, we do.
But Andy, it was really easy to turn those lights off. Do you want to...
Yes, I will.
Yeah. is it just as easy to put out the light that Jesus offers us as well? Right, we need to do the matches.
Okay.
Does Jesus' light get defeated by darkness eventually as well, just like all of these other lights did? If so many of us want to put out his light, surely the life he offers us also will one day be gone. We've got a little activity. It didn't work in the first service, so we'll see what happens this time. Well done.
There we go.
Is that right, Andy? Surely the offer that Jesus gives us will one day be gone as
well.
Well,
the thing you've got to understand about Jesus' light is it's inextinguishable. That means darkness can never, ever win over Jesus' light. The darkness has and not will not overcome this light.
Now, I need one more volunteer, okay? One more volunteer to come up on stage. And your challenge is to try and blow out this one candle, okay? Who would like to come and have a go at that? Melissa and Martha, would you like to come up together?
Right.
Okay, Melissa and Martha, I know you've seen what this candle does. Do you want to stand this side, Martha, so everyone else can see? So their challenge, if you can all see, is just to blow out this one candle. Okay, have a go, girls. Oh? Let it go for a second. Is it going to come back? Oh, no, it's come back! Let's see if it comes back. Yeah, it's quite smoky, isn't it? What do you reckon? Is it going to come back?
Is it going to come back?
If you blow it,
it's back!
Ah, phew! Okay,
that's right, well
I
done,
think
girls.
We get the idea.
Well done.
Well
thank
done.
You, girls. Go grab your seats. Well done, girls. It's come back again. Amazing. So that's candle. You can't blow it out. That's crazy. Andy, this is just like the light that Jesus offers. It can never be put out. And this light always wins over darkness. It's inextinguishable life. So Jesus brings us back to living lives in a right relationship with God forever. And nothing can stop it.
That is amazing. And that's not all. Have a look at verses 12 and 13. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Can anyone shout out and tell me what happens if we say to Jesus, please be my light. Please extinguish my darkness. What will happen to the person who turns to Jesus? Verse 12. Anyone to tell us? What do you have the right to become? you. Well done. Good. Children of God. That's right. You get to be part of God's forever family.
Amazing. Now, we're going to do a quick quiz. So if you could all stand up just where you are. And we're going to say a couple of statements. If you agree with them, if you think they're true and that is possible, put your hands on your head. Okay? If you disagree, you think that's not possible, put your hands on your hips. Okay? So first one, do you think this is true and possible or false? Is it true or false? You can one day be a child of the Queen and you can be in the royal family. What do we reckon?
Mostly, lots of hands on the hips.
Mostly hands on hips. Yeah, probably hands on hips, isn't it? That seems pretty impossible, pretty unlikely that we can actually become the Queen's child and be in the royal family.
Okay, how about this one? Okay. You can one day turn into a butterfly and belong to the insect family tree. Do you think you can do that? Hands in your head and think, oh, we've got some crazy students who think they can one day become butterflies. But for the rest of us who long in the land of the same, we know that you can't.
Okay, what about this last one? You can one day, you can age backwards and you can become the baby of your family again. Agree, disagree, what do we
think? What do you think?
Yeah.
Oh, look
at
that.
There's no way you can be a baby again, is there? That's crazy.
Right, stay standing for a moment, okay? All those things are utterly impossible, aren't they? You can't do them. You can't become a butterfly. You can't age backwards. You can't become a member. Or you can't be one of the Queen's children. But if you are, we'd love to meet you. But naturally, we cannot do any of those things. And actually, naturally, there's no way any of us become children of God. And in fact, why would God want us in his family? Let's all put our hands on our hips. We show we cannot naturally have life of being God's children.
But because of Jesus, we can become children of God. So we can put our hands on our head. Isn't that incredible? You can grab your seats. That is true life. That is the life that Jesus offers us. And if we accept it, it means that we're accepted into God's family. That's a whole different and way better kind of life. That means having direct access to God as our Father. And it means God wanting to call us his children. That's the best life I can ever imagine. And that's what Jesus offers us.
That's right. And that is actually true life. Do you know the life you were made for? The life you were made for is to be living in God's family, in relationship with him. That is eternal life, and that is better than any life anyone could offer. Even if you could become a butterfly, that'd be a bit rubbish, wouldn't it? Or you could become part of the royal family. It does not compare to this. Jesus has come to make you part of God's forever family. Now let's have a look. We've got himself. Let's have our thumbs up or thumbs down. Is that better than being in the royal family? Thumbs up. I think it absolutely is. He offers life with him in his family. And it's an invitation to all. I wonder, have you asked Jesus to be part of his family? Have you asked him to forgive all the darkness and sin? Because he wants to make you part of his forever kingdom.
Let's pray together now about Life 22 and all we've heard this morning. Father God, thank you so much that you offer us life in Jesus' name. We praise you that you are an eternal God, that you're always in loving relationship, and that you sent your son Jesus to offer us life as your children and to save us from darkness. We pray now for your help to share this offer of life in Jesus with others in Norwich. Thank you so much for the opportunity that Life 22 gives us. Thank you for the wide variety of events we have to invite people along to. Thank you for using speakers like Rico Tice and Hilary Nichols and Nate Morganlock to share about Jesus in the month of March. And we pray for their preparation and that you'd make yourself known through them. Please would you give us courage to invite family and friends along, and would these events point to you and the life you offer us clearly? We ask that you would be at work in our city, calling people to know you and to accept the life you long to give us. Would Norwich see more and more that life in Jesus really is closer than we think, and it truly is the best life there ever could be. We pray that your name would be lifted up, that Jesus would be made known, and for people to come to know you personally. We ask all of this in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.